Acts chapter 17. Now, when they passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica. This is Paul and Silas, where there was a synagogue of the Jews, and Paul, as he always did, went into the Jews, and for three Sabbath days he discussed with them from the scriptures, claiming that it had to be that the Christ suffered and rose again from the dead, and that the Jesus whom he was preaching to them is the Christ. Some of them believed, and they joined with Paul and Silas, and some of the religious Greeks, and some of the chief women. But the Jews, being moved with jealousy and envy, took to them some vile fellows of the rabble, and gathered a crowd, and set all the city on a riot. So, jealousy. Jealousy is always the problem. That's what's the root of so many problems between brothers and sisters.
J for jealousy.
That's right. That's how we should learn the letter J. J for jealousy. So they stirred up this big riot and they attacked the house of Jason and they tried to bring Paul and Silas out to the people. When they didn't find them, they dragged Jason and some brothers before the rulers of the city, shouting out, "These people who've turned the world upside down have come here as well." So you see, when people hear the gospel, it turns their little world upside down and they don't like it. So it's not just...
It's a wicked world upside down.
A wicked world. Yeah, it turns everyone's lives upside down, really, because we can't just believe these wonderful things and it not affect us. It turns your life upside down, on its head. So they complained, "These people who've turned the world upside down have come here as well, and Jason has received them. And they're behaving against the laws of Caesar by saying that there is another king, Jesus." So that was a big thing for them to say, that Jesus was a king, because in those days they said there was only one king, Caesar, and he was the only Lord. But for Christians, Jesus was their Lord and their king. And we might think, oh, those poor people, it was so hard to be a Christian then, but it's really hard to be a Christian today as well. Because we believe that Jesus is the one who rules our lives and we must go by his laws and not by what people say or think or tell us to do in the world if it's against what he says. So they stirred up the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And the brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they came there, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. But these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with an eager mind, and each day they searched through the scriptures whether these things were so. So we can imagine them opening their scrolls, because they didn't have books in those days, and checking out whether in fact this was what the Bible said, and they found it was. Therefore, many of them believed, and of the Greek women who were quite famous, not a few. But when the Jews of Thessalonica heard that the word of God was preached by Paul at Berea as well, they came there as well, stirring up and troubling the crowds. So immediately the brothers sent Paul to go as if he was going to the sea, and Silas and Timothy stayed there still. And they that went with Paul, brought him as far as Athens, and receiving a commandment to Silas and Timothy that they should come to him immediately, they left to join him there. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred up inside him as he looked at the city full of idols. And that should be the same with us as we look around this world and see people wasting their lives on idols, all sorts of things that they've got as idols, just wasting their time. So Paul reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and with the religious people and in the marketplaces every day. And some of the philosophers called Epicureans and Stoics met him, and some said, "What will this babbler say?" They thought he was just babbling nonsense. Others said, "He seems to be telling us about strange gods," because he told them about Jesus and the resurrection. And they took hold of him and brought him unto a place called the Areopagus, saying, "Can we know, please, what is this new teaching which you're teaching? Because you're speaking some very strange things, and we'd like to know what these things mean. For the people of Athens and the people who lived there spent all their time in nothing else but either telling or hearing some new thing. So Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "You men of Athens, you are somewhat too superstitious, because as I was passing along, I noticed that you've got an altar with the inscription on it, 'To the Unknown God.'" You see, they had so many idols and gods, they thought, what if we forget to offer sacrifice to one of them? Let's have an altar for the unknown God, just in case we missed him and he might get mad with us. And let's also put an offering on the altar to the unknown God.
But there was a God they didn't know.
That's right.
Which is the real God.
That's right. And that's just what Paul thought. So he says, "I saw you've got this altar to the unknown God. Well, who you're worshipping in ignorance, I'll now tell you about. He's the God that made the world and everything in it. He's Lord of heaven and earth. He doesn't live in temples made with hands. And he's not served by men's hands as if he needed anything, because he gives to everything, life and breath and all things." So these idols, they needed sacrifice, but God doesn't need anything. He gives instead of takes. And Paul went on, "And this God made every nation of men to live on all the face of the earth and determined the seasons and where people should live, so that they might feel after him and find him, though he is not far from every one of us." So that's a wonderful comfort, that God is not far from every one of us. "Seeing that in him we live and move and have our being, as even one of your own poets said, we are all his children. Being then the children of God, we shouldn't think that the Godhead is like to gold, silver, stone, or something created by man. The times of this ignorance God winked at." That is, he overlooked it. He didn't pay attention to it. "But now he commands people everywhere to repent, because he's appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has chosen. And that's Jesus, of which he's given assurance to all men in that he has raised him from the dead."